Welcome to Guessmotionals, the greatest game on the planet.
We're playing Guessmotionals today.
Yay!
Ah! Hello, everybody. Thank you for diving into the C-Motionals podcast with your two favorite co-hosts.
The greatest game ever. No, but it's fun to learn about new animals because I learn new things and it's fun to guess.
I have a blast. I hope everyone else has a blast.
I'm excited to share my animals because there are some cool things about them.
Oh yeah, I have some bangers.
Do you?
Well, I'll throw you off. I'll just go over the official rules so that we can have everyone on the same field before we start. You're welcome to participate along with us as we go through the game. Official rules of Guessmotionals. 5 animals per game, 3 rounds per animal. Each round, the scientist, which is the person giving the clues, gives 2 clues about the animal. And the guesser, or student, has 2 guesses each round. If the guesser cannot describe the correct animal for that round, they gain 1 point for each round they cannot guess the animal. The scientist now provides 2 more clues describing the animal. If the guesser cannot guess by the end of the 3rd round, they can ask 1 final question about anything of the animal that they want and get 1 final last attempt on the animal. If they do not guess right, they forfeit and accumulate 3 points for that round. The player who guesses correctly in the least amount of rounds wins. And when adding up the points, it's similar to golf. The player with the least amount of points wins. Have fun, scientists.
Yay!
And good luck, students.
Okay.
We're actually both scientists and students.
Yeah, we are. Look at that.
All right, who wants to go first?
I'll start.
Oh, wow.
I'll be the scientist.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to start with my first 2 clues. Are you ready, student?
Students, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. For this animal, their entire mating season is only 1 hour long for the entire year.
Wow.
So only 1 hour out of the entire year is their mating season.
That is short.
Yeah, it's only one time for 1 hour. It's crazy. The second clue is really interesting to you. Their vocabulary has been studied. It is more advanced than any other animal language that's been decoded. To a human ear, they might just sound like they're having like squeaky calls and they're like simple and repetitive. But recent research has found that those calls can convey incredibly descriptive details. They can alert one another in detail, for example, not just if a human is approaching, but also if a tall human wearing a hat in a color blue is approaching. Like, that's how detailed they're able to communicate.
Wow, impressive.
I don't know if that will help you answer, but that's really interesting. And I didn't know this about the animal, and I'm like, I don't know why people don't talk about this animal. It sounds really smart. So, but those are the 2 clues.
All right. I'm going to go with macaque.
No.
Okay. How about parakeet?
No.
Dang.
Next clues. They are the cousin of squirrels.
Mm.
4th clue. They're little fighters with sharp claws and powerful teeth.
Little fighters.
Yeah.
Sharp teeth. And they're the cousin of squirrelies.
Yeah.
Okay. Little fighters. Little guys like boom, boom, boom.
They will fight.
I'm going to go with, dang, what has a complicated language, makes squeakies and clickies and blockies and calls and has sharp fighting claws? I'm going to go with a possum.
No.
Dang.
It was a good one.
Let us do badger.
No.
Dang it.
So this other one, clue is really cute. I don't know if this will help you at all, but I feel like I've seen photos of this type of... Okay. They kiss each other when they greet one another.
Oh, wow.
They'll touch each other's noses and they'll lock their teeth with one another, like when they greet.
Interesting.
They kiss each other.
Very interesting.
Okay, last clue. This is also really cool and interesting. They have well-organized homes. They have they live underground in complex burrows, and they have designated areas for nurseries, sleeping, toilet areas. And the way that the tunnel is designed, it allows the air to flow through them, providing ventilation, utilizing the winds. They also have safety exits in their burrows. And a listening post. Very interesting. Like they obviously are very like smart, I guess. I don't know if that helps you get it, but they live underground in burrows.
How about groundhog?
No.
Meerkat?
No, but those are all close.
Cute. Okay, I guess I have to ask my final question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask, and I hope you know this.
Uh-huh.
What region are they located in?
Their main habitat is in southeastern Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and northern Arizona, primarily. Have you ever seen the movie Meet the Deedles?
No.
Mm.
I'm going to use a final guess. I feel like I'm just going to get 3 points here. I have so many different things in my head. I'm thinking of like a few different creatures. I feel like we covered one of them already, so it can't be that.
It's quite a common animal. It's not like it's an unheard of one.
I'm just trying to think of like what is like so vocal and then what also fights and is small and lives in burrows.
I think they're not really in Florida, so we don't really like see them or
yeah. Daegu?
No.
Dang it.
So it's a prairie dog.
Oh.
They look like little squirrels, but I know we don't really like see them here.
Prairie dogs, dang it.
They are quite fascinating little guys.
They are pretty fascinating. They're cute too.
They're very cute.
Oh, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm going to do the scientist question.
All right.
Round number two. My animal number one. This creature is a notorious predator with killer instincts, extreme vision, and raptorial front legs to quickly jab, pinch, bite, slash, and snatch its opponents and victims.
Okay.
That's the first fact. The second fact is... they are not afraid to kill and eat whatever they want relative to their size. Mm-hmm. Their diet consists of crickets, beetles, moths, bees, reptiles, birds, small mammals, and even fight and prey on their own species.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Some sort of spider, maybe?
Mm.
Tarantula?
It could be. No.
What about a scorpion?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Fact number three. They are mostly known for being a bright green color, but can also be red, brown, and pink. This creature engages in what is known as sexual cannibalism, whereby the female will eat the male after mating has taken place. And if the male somehow escapes, the female will leave the nesting ground and track the male down to kill him.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking it's some sort of spider.
Okay, well, what would you say? What would you go with?
I mean, I only know so many spiders. I know there's like tons of spiders.
Just to be nice, I will say that you are close with insect.
It can be pink and...
and red and brown. And they're known mostly for being a bright green color.
They punch?
They do a lot more than that. They jab, they pinch, they bite, they slash, and they snatch their opponents. And they go for moths and beetles and crickets and reptiles and birds and mammals.
Grasshopper.
Did you guess two already? Or the spider wasn't one of them?
No, the spider's just me thinking. I said tarantula, but not that. It's bright green.
You might need this to help.
Bright green.
Red, brown, and pinkle.
A caterpillar.
Oh.
All right.
the last set.
Uh-huh.
Is this creature has a segmented body in three parts. A head, a thorax, which is the butt, and an elongated abdomen.
Long. Uh-huh.
And they have wings.
Uh-huh.
And long front arms. When threatened, they will spread their wings and arms like a bear and try to be super huge and be
a
like...
A praying mantis. Yay!
You got it. I think I gave it away like this. I like did the praying mantis. Like,
no, look. It was more, I don't know.
I spread out like this, like a bear.
Yeah.
So the last fact I was going to say, I don't know if this would have given it away or not, but it says, while the species name of this creature is always shared, mantis, they have different first names. So examples are orchid, kung fu, devil's flower, and spiny flower. I did not put praying in there because that would have just given it away. Orchid mantises are the pink, beautiful mantis. They look like flowers.
Mm.
There's devil's flower, kung fu. They're like this all the time. They look like ninjas.
Interesting.
You know, praying mantis. Well, mantis in general.
I like praying mantis.
Praying mantises are the green ones, but
yeah.
Look up orchid mantis.
Yeah, I'm looking at the orchid mantis. It does look like an orchid. Right? Very, very weird.
They're so beautiful.
They saw an orchid. They're like, yes. I want to be that.
I am going to be that one day.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Their name means snow shoveler. They live in the Arctic tundra and damp forests of Greenland, Scandinavia, Russia, Alaska, and Canada.
Oh, dang.
Those were the two clues.
Show snoveler. Snow shoveler.
You said that backwards.
Snow shoveler, and they live in a lot of Arctic regions.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I will go with caribou.
You got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang it, man. That's
reindeer awesome. Or caribou, because reindeer is the same thing. They have a different name.
I just thought, like, caribou have antlers that like are kind of like shovels. I've never like seen them shovel snow, but like they have like shovel antlers, so I thought maybe
they are the only kind of their species in which both male and female can grow antlers. The female grow antlers when they walk, they click, and it's like a tendon in their foot passing over a bone. It's like click click click
click click.
My fifth clue: within 90 minutes of being born, the calves can run as fast as an Olympic sprinter. Imagine like an hour and a half and you're sprinting that fast. My last clue, which was like going to give it away if you couldn't get it, but they don't have red noses. And I thought this animal would be fitting because it's almost Christmas. The reindeer, caribou. Reindeer.
I was just throwing that out there. Like,
are we counting our points up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have...
Yeah, you got that pretty fast. I didn't know if you would, but...
You have two right now because you got... Mine, you guessed mine on the third, which gives you 2 points because you didn't not get it. I have three.
Okay.
Because I got zero on this one. You're still beating me. All right. The second animal, round, I think, four. A group of this animal is known as a gang or a mob, or are well known for their upright position and social behavior. They live, this is the second fact. They live in sandy, dusty...
Meerkat.
It's because I said that earlier.
No, it's because the standing upright. That's like a signature of the
meerkat. I should have kept that as like lower fact.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go through the clues then that I had, which they're pretty interesting clues.
Okay.
So they live in sandy and dusty dry areas, mostly savannas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have what is called a nictitating membrane in their eyes. This membrane acts as a windshield wiper and removes sand from their eyes as they blink.
That sounds nice.
So they're like
yeah,
blink.
Yeah, I wish I had that.
Yeah. So they can remove like particles from their eyes.
They have to.
Cleans. Like, yeah.
Living in the sand.
The third fact is they're extremely intelligent animals.
Like maybe like, I wonder how much they relate to the prairie dogs.
Probably pretty similar. But meerkats relate more towards... mongoose than squirrel.
Okay.
So they're more of mongoose. They're extremely intelligent, given credit for what they people mm-hmm. see them as. And they are not endangered at all. Like, mm-hmm. not even close, because they thrive in their environments. They create burrow systems, are capable of switching between a carnivorous diet and a plant-based diet depending on their environment, whatever's available, and will move as a unit to new homes when needed. Mm-hmm. No man left behind.
Mm.
The fourth fact is their bodies, fur is tan brown, faces are white with dark markings around their eyes, which help deflect the sun's glare because they stare long into the sky for extended periods of time.
Why do they do that?
I will get to that in my next fact.
Okay.
So the next fact, each gang or mob has what is called a sentry, who watches over the gang either from the ground or in a tree to spot any danger from above and warn the other members.
But why do they look into the sun?
Well, because they're like looking up all day, like, you know, the sentry's like just staring in the sun. Like, they need to have those dark eyes to like keep the sun's glare. And then the last fact was a fun fact. It probably would have given this away from you. This animal is a supporting protagonist character in a popular animated Disney movie.
Oh, okay. The Lion King.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So you're at two still.
Yay.
Dang it.
Dang
it. I didn't think you'd get that one.
You thunk wrong. You underestimated me. All right. Next animal. This animal is spotted grayish white. Well, it's spotted white grayish.
White gray. Okay.
Okay. It has a lot of fur. It keeps them insulated in cold weather. It lives in high altitude mountains, usually at elevations of 10 to 20,000 feet.
Oof.
They live in some of the most harsh climate conditions on the planet, and they're only found in Asia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to say snow leopard.
Darn it!
Just too easy.
I should have, like, yeah, put some of those at the lower ones. Was it the spotted grayish white kind of gives it away?
No, it was that they only live in Asia.
Oh, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
They're known to be able to leap up to 30 feet.
I did not know they could jump into trees.
Yeah. Their nickname is Ghost of the Mountains because they're hard to see. They camouflage really well in icy, rocky mountains. They have very long, fluffy tails. Their tails are like 3 feet long. They're very long, like super fluffy. They can like wrap it around them to keep them warm.
Oh, wow. I had no clue.
And they have like a roaming range of 400 miles that they live in, basically, like individually. So they live in like a large area. They don't really, I mean.
They just kind of wander.
Yeah, they wander. Like, they live in crazy conditions. So they're like up on slopey, rocky, icy mountains. That's like where they live.
That's pretty crazy.
They're beautiful. So beautiful. But good job.
Yes. Time for the last of mine. Last round. Let's do the first fact. They are extremely intelligent animals. And their agile, rotatable wrists allow them to use its paw like a hand to dig, scoop, hold, and even turn door handles.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Sneaky.
This animal is also nicknamed the War Eagle. War Eagle.
Eagle?
No.
Okay.
It's not spelled like that. Bird? It's actually, I'll tell you how it's spelled. It's W-A-R-R-I-G-A-L.
Not helpful.
And remember the key word I said. In the first fact. Do you remember the first fact?
Their wrist turn.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the key fact?
I'll say it again. They are extremely intelligent animals, and their agile, rotatable wrists allow them to use its paw like a hand to dig, scoop, hold, and even turn door handles.
Okay.
Got it all?
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. They are not originally from Australia. Or did they arrive with the first Aboriginal people? The Aborigines are the first people that came to Australia. But they did originate from Asia and were brought there around 8,300 years ago. The next clue. Early peoples of Asia and Australia formed symbiotic relationships with this animal. The animal didn't live close, but the symbiotic relationship consisted of the people would provide them with leftovers and food scraps from, you know, their hunting and they would live, these animals would live close to the humans while protecting human settlements from other predators.
Okay. Dog. A kangaroo? I don't know.
Do you remember the keywords I said from that one?
They had a symbiotic relationship with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I forgot the other one.
They are not originally from Australia. They came from Asia and were brought there around 8,300 years ago.
That does not help me.
Okay. I hope you get these.
Okay, I hope so.
Like sharks, they hunt anything in front of them if they are hungry enough, including geese, wallabies, kangaroos, koalas, lizards, rabbits, mice, and that's while solo, and in packs, they even hunt water buffalo. Big, giant water buffalo. Just brrr.
Okay.
And the last fact is these animals, while vicious in nature, can be tamed, domesticated, and kept as pets given proper training.
A polar bear.
I said Australia.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to take that back?
Is it some sort of bear, though?
They live in Australia and Asia to this day.
Is it some sort of bear?
I'm just going to let you. I'm going to give you two guesses. Because the polar bear is, they don't live. These animals are vicious in nature, but they can be tamed, domesticated, and kept as pets, given proper training.
So people have them as pets?
And back in the day, even though they weren't tamed, they lived close to humans because...
They can turn doorknobs. That's the one that I'm thinking. Like,
they can open doors.
What can open doors?
They have paws.
They have paws, so some sort of cat or bear, I'm still thinking, because they eat giant things. They have to be really big. They eat water buffalo. They have to be huge, like a bear.
So you're going to say bear?
Well, is it a specific type of animal, like a more specific?
It's a type of animal, yeah. They're very genetically different from even what they're very closely resembling. What are you doing? You dancing?
I'm thinking.
Okay. Yeah, I went very difficult on this one because I feel like
it is very difficult. It's not like an easy one.
Well, no, I mean, they're common animals. Like, you know what they are.
Oh, they're common animals.
I mean, just think Australia. Like, they are in Asia, but they didn't originate from Australia. They came from Asia. They're still in Asia today, but they're actually declining in Asia through hunting.
Wolverines?
No.
Tasmanian devil.
No, we actually covered that before, I think.
These are the only Australian animals I can think of.
All right, how about this? Before you ask your last question, so you can only get 2 points, I will actually give you one final clue that will help you, I think.
Okay.
While they are vastly genetically different from wolves and dogs, they share common genetic characteristics.
A dingo.
Yep, that's it.
Dingo.
Dingoes.
Okay, I wouldn't have thought of that. But my first answer was a dog, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they're not dogs.
No, but they're like dogs. They look like dogs, right?
They look like dogs. They actually, if you look up dingoes online, they look like jindos.
Yeah, they look like dogs, like regular dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I was close at first.
But they're in the wolf family, Canis lupus.
They'll eat anything that's like in their way.
Yeah, except they don't actually go after humans.
Okay.
Very rarely do they go after humans. They realize they're very intelligent and they realize human significance that they give them food. So they're kind of like seagulls in the manner that they will. It's in their instinct to like, you know, be near
be nice.
Humans because they might get food.
Yeah.
They actually can turn doorknob. Their wrists, unlike dogs, which their paws kind of are like this.
Mm.
Dingoes actually are like this and they're like very agile and movable and they turn doorknobs in human homes and steal their food.
All right, I'm going to look for a video on a dingo opening a door because I don't know. Can a dingo open a door? Let's see.
So this is dingoes using tools, showing the intelligence of dingoes. Look.
They were able to use the table to get up there.
Right. And then this one is showing their flexibility. So I will link that video that we just watched to our podcast and, you know, so everyone can view like the scooping ability and the wrist turning and the problem solving capabilities of dingoes.
Okay, cool.
Because they're very crazy. I want one as a pet, to be honest, but, you know, they're very, you can't transport them from Australia. It's actually weird. They're not really seen as an invasive species, but they're not from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But they live there and they're thriving. Very interesting. And they actually aren't even just in Australia. They live in like Singapore and different islands from, you know, the mainland Asia.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So we were going to do our points. We were going to see who won.
Yeah.
On that one, you got 2. And since I got both of the last ones right, I got 3 and you got 4. Ha, ha, ha.
Not fair.
Ha, 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 ha.
Now you have to make me something.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
But I won.
Yeah, but I have more points.
That's the bad thing. All right, students and scientists, mostly students because we were the scientists. We hope that you enjoyed this round of Guess Motionals. It's actually our plan to turn this into a board game one day. We have to figure out how to do that, but we actually want to make this a board, like, card-playing game. I think it'd be really interesting if we can do that. So we're going to be working on that. I don't have a release date. I'd hope sometime in the foreseeable future that we can have Guess Motionals as an actual game. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this episode.
We hope that you learned some fun things.
Yeah, we have a lot of
animals. And maybe guess them right, too.
Yeah, we hope you did better than us. Even though I think we did pretty good this round.
No, we did pretty good. It just depends on, like,
the maximum amount of points is 9. So we both did under the halfway mark.
Yay.
So we're good.
I'm proud of us.
Do you have anything else to add to our lovely students?
Do you?
I hope that wherever you're listening.
Oh my God, Anthony.
No, but seriously, like, you know, I hope you guys are enjoying your December, the, you know, wrapping up of the year. We hope that we've been able to teach you guys something this year and just keep learning out there. Keep having fun. Keep researching animals. Keep doing your conservation efforts. And we appreciate everything that you guys do for the animals and environment. I'm like you. I'm taking your role. You're supposed
to be
the...
That is beautiful, Anthony.
You're supposed to be the...
I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the, like, you know...
There comes a time when, like, the student is on their own and they have learned all the wisdom from the master.
Ah, I see.
So it's your time to shine and share all of your beautiful philosophies.
Oh, I can't. All right. That's been our episode. We hope you enjoyed.
We're very bad at ending these.
We actually have a link tree now.
Yes, we have a link tree.
So you guys can just go to Instagram. Find our link tree, and you can go anywhere you want. It'll take you to any one of our YouTube or TikTok or Twitter or Instagram. We have our podcast on there. Hopefully soon we'll have more links. We have Discord on there. I mean, it's
growing.
We're
working on more.
It's growing. You guys can chat with us on Discord about conservation. If I see you guys on Discord in the channel, you accept the invite, and you guys are, you know, in the voice channels, I'll jump right in. We can talk about ocean conservation, whatever you want. So we have all our socials ready. Just reach out to us. And that's it. All right, bye.
Good night, or bye.
Good day, good morning.
Good night for us. Good day to you. Good morning.